I'm very excited today to have Dr. Barbara DeAngelis with me. She's invited us into her home, and she's actually about to move, so we're getting the last experience here in her home. Barbara, if you're not familiar with her, is the creator of the popular relationship seminar, Making Love Work, and what you probably know her for is her best-selling books, How to Make Love All the Time, kind of a fun title, and Secrets About Men Every Woman Should Know. She writes on a regular basis for Cosmopolitan, Ladies Home Journal, McCall's, Reader's Digest, and she's the popular media personality who appears frequently on Oprah Winfrey, Hour Magazine, Sally Jesse Raphael, not to mention the fact that she has a variety of cassette tapes that can give you strategies on how to succeed in each area of relationships. So I hope you'll take advantage of those. I want to thank you for letting us in your home and a chance to visit with you.
Thank you. You're the last and best experience here.
Well, thank you. How to Make Love All the Time. What a great title. There are a lot of things in here. Why don't you just clarify, what do you mean by making love all the time?
I really believe that the experience of being in love, in the state of love, is a possibility. In fact, is really the goal for a relationship. And that most of us limit those high moments of connection to sex or to our anniversary, and that you can be in love and feel like you are making love, literally, right, with your partner all the time. And that the myth that, well, after 5 years, you lose the magic, and of course you don't feel passionate, and what do you expect? You have 3 children. That even though it is common that we see that, it is not normal.
Right.
People say to me, but isn't it normal? I mean, doesn't that happen to most marriages? And I say, yes, and that's because it's common. But I don't think it's normal. I think it is normal if you love someone today to love them more in 20 years, not less. But the way we erode relationships by making mistakes, which I mentioned in the book, by the time we get to 5 years, we're lucky if we're even speaking to one another anymore. So I wrote the book, in a sense, like Relationships 101, as a manual for what goes wrong, what can make it work, what to avoid, the basics that I wish was taught in high school, in junior high school. So these days, elementary school, probably.
Let's talk about some of the mistakes then. What are some of the biggest mistakes that people make in relationships? I know there's one common theme that struck me really strongly, but what's been the most important distinctions? What have they been that you've made over the years working with all these people that are the mistakes that we've got to avoid in order to make relationships work at the highest level?
I think 2 things come to mind. The first, many people are never in the relationship. I don't care if they've been married 40 years. They have never committed themselves to really being in the relationship. They exist in a relationship coexisting with another person. But if things aren't going their way, they leave. They literally psychically leave or energetically leave that relationship for 10 minutes. They abandon the marriage. And I see couples all the time who have never really committed, no matter what, to working on that relationship. I get calls on the radio, every other call. We have a problem. My husband doesn't want to talk about it. Well, what are you doing married if you don't want to talk about it? But this is just rampant. So that's the first thing. Once you're in it, it is absolutely not telling the complete truth to your partner. That includes many things. Asking for what you want, which means you have to know what you want. Letting the resentments and the little problems build up, pushing them down so you don't rock the boat, numbing yourself to them, and that definitely erodes the passion between two people. And not telling the truth about the anger, about the fears, so that your reality remains separate. Intimacy Right. is a shared experience of reality. And if you're not sharing your reality with your partners, even if it's a guy who says, you know what, my inventory's down at work and we're not making enough sales this month and I'm scared to death, that's something your wife needs to know. If she doesn't, you are not sharing a piece of yourself, and you're going to find yourself 3 months down the line not wanting to make love to her, and you won't even think it has to do with what's going at work, but it does.
It's creating the separation but not sharing fully.
Yes, it's building a wall, an emotional wall that we can feel, but we don't understand where it came from. And some people think a wall is, well, I had an affair and I didn't tell her. But it's the little things that are more insidious. Not asking for what you want. Not letting somebody know that you're not feeling as appreciated as you need to be. It's one brick and another brick and another brick. And then you wake up one day and you look at your partner in the morning and you have that sinking feeling. You know, I love him, but I'm not in love anymore. Where did the magic go? And you really don't know. And it's not that it went. It is buried under right. piles of withheld communications and resentments. The good news is you can create that again. I've seen it happen. I see it happen in my seminars all the time. It's like a miracle. People who were ready to get divorced, who hadn't slept together in 5 years, 2 days, and they are in love again. That's the power of renewal of the human heart.
So from your standpoint, if a couple's gone through threshold, if they're in a position where they really don't feel like they're in love any longer, and there's a desire on either person's part to try and reignite it, put it back together, what are the first steps? What would you tell them to do?
The first thing is for them each to take an accounting of all the things that they are holding inside that are not balanced and not okay. All the things that they've been angry about and hurt about, to use some of the techniques I mentioned, love letters, where they really get to figure out what they're feeling. Once they know not just what they think is bothering them, but what is really bothering them, because I always say people never fight for the reasons they think they're fighting. You know, people come to me and say, we're fighting about the kids and we're fighting about the house. You're fighting because you don't feel loved and you don't feel understood. That is the reason we fight.
Sure.
And if you don't understand that, you could sit there and talk about the kids for the next 5 years and never get anywhere. So first you need to do an exploration so you can get in touch with that little kid inside of you that really needs to say, you know what, honey? You know, I need more attention from you. I'm lonely. I miss you.
So let me tie you down. How do they do that? Do they take out a piece of paper and pencil, do it? They sit down with their partner and just let do a stream of consciousness? What's the best way to go about it?
The best way first is to do it yourself so you're not going to be interrupted by somebody else's reactions, as you said, and interrupt your process. And write what I call a love letter and start out with the anger and go all the way down until you feel the love, until you feel really clear. And you're hopefully your partner can do the same thing. And then you give it to that person and you read it out loud and they read it back. And you start to understand what's going on inside the other person, and you start to understand what's going on inside of you. And that understanding is what begins to recreate the intimacy. I've really found that people can go through just about anything and recover from just about anything in relationship if they can recreate the intimacy. Because the truth is, on one level, we could be intimate and fall in love with anybody. I mean, if someone put...
And most of us have proven it.
Yes, exactly. Well, I certainly have. I mean, you could put, you know, two people on a desert island, and if there were no one else there, they would fall in love. I mean, the human beings have such divinity inside of them that when you transcend all the extraneous stuff, you feel the spirit and you feel yours, and that is the feeling of being in love. You feel love. And I really believe that if couples learn how to get this other stuff out of the way, they can repair. They can repair.
How can they prevent it from ever getting that place in the first place?
Well, number one, if anyone who's listening to this is getting involved in a relationship and has had failed relationships in the past, don't be so innocent to think that just because you're with a new person, you're not going to make the same mistakes again.
Or you moved to Tennessee.
No, exactly. That was my radio show today. That means get some education. Read every book you can. Take every relationship seminar you can. Listen to tapes. You know, sit down together and say, I want to come into this with some different input. You can't just expect that it's going to change by itself. It won't. In fact, it's going to get worse because now you have another set of negative experiences.
Some more baggage for you.
And your trust level is lower. So unless you've had some extensive relationship education, go out and get it. And don't feel like you're a failure getting it. You're a pioneer. You're somebody who wants excellence. You're not going to settle for a mediocre, boring relationship like most of us are frightened we're going to have.
Right. Well, I think one of the major things, the themes that comes through your books over and over again is that how do you make relationships better is you make them a priority. And I'm a big believer in what I call concentration of power, that whatever you focus on consistently and every day it's got to be better, it will be better, whatever that is.
Absolutely. Human beings, our attention and intelligence is so vast, and our ability to empower things with our attention is so fantastic. And most of us only pay attention to our relationships when they are in crisis. And wait until either, you know, our partner's calling the lawyer or we're having a big fight or it's been a month since we've had sex, and then we start talking about it. And the truth is, if your child had even a sniffle, you'd be running over there. You know, if your business showed a tiny deficit, you'd be taking care of it. You wouldn't wait till the creditors came to the door with the red slips.
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of people do. That's the unfortunate part of a lot of people's businesses. But yes, I hear you.
So it means really understanding that if you want lifelong passion, you're going to have to invest in it, not 24 hours a day, but even 10 quality minutes a day, which most people don't have. I interview women and say, when's the last time your husband gave you a real kiss, not a peck, but a real kiss? And I see women saying, let's see, last Monday, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago. I mean, that's tragic. That's tragic. That's why I invented the 20-second kiss, so they could at least get in a few of those a day.